It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, well, well. Good morning, everybody. Aloha. It is Ben and Woods live from, Kauai still. Last show in paradise, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be good to get home tomorrow and back in the studio on Friday. What a victory for our San Diego Padres last night. Holy crap. Hola. I'd like to dedicate this show today. 2-1 Ramon Laureano, thank you for slowing my heartbeat down and letting me actually get a decent night's sleep last night, albeit a very short one. I'm Woodsy to my, well, on the screen, to my right, Paul Reindl, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm ready to get home and see you guys again. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports and anchor. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning. Can't believe it's only Wednesday. Feels like it's been a long week, but lot of things to do. I'm glad you are on your way home tomorrow. I wanted to ask you first, though, before anything else. Are you experiencing island fever at all?
I'm not getting island fever. What was weird was a couple days ago, I can't deny it. I told you, I was getting a little homesick. I was ready to come home. Now that I'm faced with the end of the trip, I'm really ready to stay. So it's
Make
weird.
Make up your mind.
I know, and Hannah said, I know, I feel the exact same way. We went and had dinner last night. The kids are at the grandparents again, which is fantastic. We've had such a great time, and I think what we did yesterday really put it over the edge of like, God, this place is special, man, special. We did the hike to Queen's Bath yesterday, which is in Princeville, which is not too far from where we're staying. And I can honestly say I've never seen anything like that on the planet, ever. And I don't know that there is anything really like that in the world. It was the coolest thing, and now it's a hike right up my alley. It's a little bit of a treacherous hike because you go straight. It's like a straight downhill hike, and it's a little bit slippery, and it's, you know, you have to walk through some tall grass and stuff like that. I mean, really tall. It looks like a cornfield, and you walk through some of that. But then when you come out, you look at these big pools, and you go from lava rock to lava rock, and you jump, and, you know, it was one of the best days I think I've ever had on the planet. Just an incredibly beautiful, beautiful setting. Was able to jump off rocks into the one of the Queen's Baths. I mean, it was magical, man. It is just the coolest place. I sent you guys some pictures yesterday.
The pictures were amazing.
Like it.
Yeah, pictures were absolutely gorgeous.
Oh.
And I can see, obviously, and you're going to be sad when you leave. Now, Paulie, you've never been to Hawaii.
Correct.
Do you know what island fever is? Because it's a real thing that I've experienced.
You start going crazy, right?
It's also known as rock fever. It's a psychological feeling of being trapped or confined when you're on an island due to its size or isolation. And a couple of times, you know, I've been to Hawaii like 3 or 4 times, and you look out and you feel like, oh my God, there's thousands of miles of water between me and anything else. Yeah. And you start to panic a little bit for some reason. Like, you feel trapped. So I tried not to think about it, but it actually is real. But Woods, you don't get bothered at all being so cut off from the rest of humanity on this planet.
Like, I haven't been on a cruise either, but I have a fear of like cabin fever,
yeah,
where you're just like the idea of being out there in the open water with nothing around you, it kind of freaks me out.
I have more of a fear of scurvy than I do. I don't even know what scurvy is, but I really like saying it. The only thing that gave me panic last night were the San Diego Padres. Oh, there's your old pal Woodsy jumping off a rock into one of the
cliff diving. How high up is that?
So, you know, it's probably about 8 feet down, but you have to jump out, which
right.
makes it look, because there's a little rock wall that you have to clear, and if you don't,
bad,
it's not
bad
gonna be
things.
Fun for you.
Yeah.
So you got to jump out And it was great.
Dude. You wouldn't let the kids do that.
Well, Bo came down there with me, and he was going to, and then he chickened out. I mean, I shouldn't say that about my seven-year-old. He decided against it at the last minute.
He made the very mature and maybe wise decision to not put himself at risk by forcing himself to jump and do something he might not have been ready to do. Or you can just say he chickened out.
Yeah, yeah, he wimped out, I could say, chickened out. Yeah, he was cowardly. No, he's 7 years old, man. We got down there and he was like, I don't know. This guy hem-haws about everything, you know, hems and haws about his cereal. So I wasn't super surprised, but they both did really well on the hike. They caught a little frog, you know, put it right back, but they caught a little frog in their hands. They were stoked about that. Caught some tadpoles and we saw a bunch of sea turtles, out in the ocean. It was magical, man. Such a cool, cool place to go with my family. We really had a blast. And then we went to Alini Beach, which is known for its snorkeling. And we got in the water and went snorkeling for about 2 hours, and we saw exactly zero fish. Not one. I didn't see a minnow. I didn't see anything out there. Now, we didn't go super far out to the reef because I didn't have any fins. I just had the snorkel. But we, you know, and you need the fins. The current's really strong. But oh my God, man, we were out there kind of screwing around. We did find some fresh guava that we picked up and ate right off the tree, which was kind of cool.
Well, you should be okay for the scurvy then, as long as you're eating some fresh guava. So that's good.
We got guava there in us, so no scurvy here. But it was pretty special. And so you get, you know, you see something like that, you have a day like that, and you're like, man, that's crazy. But yeah, the only thing that panicked me last night was the San Diego Padres. And I will say it's probably it's not the only thing that panicked me yesterday. I got to tell you, you guys know, I've told you before, I have a little bit of fear of birds. You guys know, I've told you about my bird fear.
I did not know that
totally told us that.
Of birds.
It's more like a aversion to them.
Ornithophobia.
Yeah, I don't like them very much. I appreciate them and, you know, I guess what they do. But I don't like them soaring around. I feel like, and especially in
Do you feel
Kauai,
like they're going to dive bomb you? Or what's the worry? That they're coming to come down and get you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Peck my eyes out. Peck my soul from my body. Yes. Yes, I do. I feel like they're going to come get me. So I don't really like them. I feel like I've had some interactions with birds over the years that I haven't really enjoyed. Just scaring me and whatnot, you know? And so we're sitting at breakfast, just me and my wife. This is actually a couple days ago. We're sitting at breakfast. And there's roosters everywhere here. They're just everywhere. And there's little ducks and there's all kinds of little birds and they're always underfoot. And we're sitting at breakfast and my wife gets the brilliant idea to scare me. And she gets like some pieces of her toast and we're sitting there like on these bar stools. My feet are kind of touching the ground and she throws all this toast at my feet.
Oh,
and guess what happens?
Oh my God.
Guess what happens? About 40 birds come up and start pecking at my feet. Now I yelp like because I have 40 birds and chickens and roosters trying to eat my feet off because there's little flecks of toast on there. And I looked at her and she's crying laughing like she's in hysterics. And I looked at her and I go, payback is a mother effer. I said, you're toast. No pun intended. I said, you're done for. And I said, really? Like I go, that sucks. I hated that so much. And that's mean. And I don't like it. I said, you're done for. Well, payback came yesterday in the form of lunch. We went to lunch and, I showed you guys, or I told you about, you know, the chafe that I had earlier on. Well, thanks to one of our tier ones that recommended Surfer Salve, S-A-L-V-E, Surfer Salve. Comes in a tin about the size of a silver dollar. And you just take your finger, you rub it in the salve, and you rub it down on your taint and down in your inner thighs, your creamy, milky inner thighs. You rub it in there, and then you leave it. My mother-in-law had my salve in her bag. So at lunch, she pulls it out on the table, puts it on the table. She goes, oh, I found your surfer salve. I said, oh, thank you. My wife reaches across, opens the salve, puts her finger in it, and starts rubbing it on her lips. And I sat back and I go, you know where that's been, right? She goes, what are you talking about? I go, oh, yeah, I put my finger and I smeared it all over my taint and my thighs, and then I put my finger back in again to do the other side. And now you've just taken it and you've rubbed it on your lips. So enjoy. And she was like spitting, drinking water. Listen, man, if you come for the king, you best not miss, is what I will tell Mrs. Woods. It was the punishment worse than death for her.
And that wasn't even a plan.
It's not lip balm. I mean,
it's not lip balm.
That was kind of weird anyway.
It is for your taint, and it's for your creamy, milky, hairy, rash inner thighs. And she's sitting there at lunch like this, I go, yeah, enjoy it. That's all me, all undercarriage in there, okay? It's meant for one person. It's not meant to share, okay? So come for the king, best not miss. And I didn't miss yesterday. So I sat back and just, if I had had a cigar, Ben, I would have leaned back and blown a nice plume of smoke. So I got her, needless to say, like I said, the kids were at the grandparents last night. Needless to say, your boy, I struck out. I struck out, on the second to the last night here, because she was still not happy about, you know, the taint cream on her lips. So
I can imagine.
So that was hysterical. And good prank on me to throw food at my feet and get attacked by birds. And now I'm terrified of any time we go to lunch. But, man, it's been a really great trip. I'm so ready to get home, and see the cats and stuff. But it was pretty beautiful yesterday. It was a perfect day. Did not rain, not even a raindrop. I mean, it was just perfect temperature all day.
We didn't really talk about it, but your experience with the birds reminds me of the prank that Mud pulled on Don a week or two ago when they saw a spider in the booth, and then Mud kind of tickled his ear, and Don just jumped about three feet, thinking that there was an insect crawling on him, which was, I mean, it's pretty funny. I feel bad for Don in that situation. I feel I'm the one who usually is the victim of such pranks, so I had some sympathy for him, and I have some sympathy for you in the bird situation, because if you actually have a fear of birds, that's a very uncomfortable spot to be in if they're all around you.
It's not great, you know, and their little beaks are pecking at you and stuff, and Dee in the chat says, that's disgusting, bro. You really did that to her? No, Dee. She did it to herself. I did not take it out and recommend it. It was on the table. She grabbed it, smeared it on her lips. I go, by the way, guess where that's been? And, you know, like I said, man, payback.
Now, if you hadn't said anything, she really would have been fine. I mean, I don't think anything bad would have happened to her. It's only because she knows that all of a sudden she gets uncomfortable about it.
Correct.
But honestly, if you hadn't said anything, life would have gone on and there would have been no repercussions or consequences. It's one of those, again, weird psychological things that just because she knows you had stuck your finger in there and
rubbed it
and then stuck it back in again, that all of a sudden it becomes quote unquote gross, but probably, you know, there's no really health hazards to it.
Can I interest you guys in a little surfer salve?
I'm
good. Really good. You guys don't need any?
No, I'm good.
You guys chafe at all?
Not really. No.
Okay. I mean, I have in the, you know, going to the beach on a daily basis. I can't tell you the last time I went to the beach more than, you know, one day out of 3 years, so you know, I just don't have a chance to chafe that often anymore.
What about on the golf course? You don't chafe a lot on the golf course?
I don't really.
No,
I think I might
get you a 10 for your bag,
just in case
you need it. It's real. I mean, it's very small.
I used
it's
to. Very,
I'm, I, it's no I, skin off my
I think
bat.
Clothing has gotten better over the years. Like it, more breathable. Not as you don't get quite as sweaty as you used to. It's just lighter and. Materials have improved so much that
there's some courses where I know if I'm going to be like walking a lot it's rough terrain, like I may wear like compression shorts under pants or shorts I'm wearing to golf in. But other than that, I'm usually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not, you know, listen, I get you some, you throw it in your baseball bag, Paulie, or you throw it in your, I'm looking for some gift ideas for you guys. I've got you a couple things yet. When you eliminate macadamia nuts as a gift, you're pretty much screwed when you're on Hawaii, because everything is macadamia nut. And I went to, listen to this. So we go to dinner And we sit down and we have this delicious, we've been eating almost every night at this restaurant called The Dolphin. And if you've ever been to Kauai, you know The Dolphin. It's just perfect. It's perfect locations right by this river. It's just stunning. It's, and the food is really good. We order our meal. We had sushi. It was delicious and fresh. And we both decide we want to get a dessert because we're on vacation and we like dessert. So Hannah gets the hula pie. And I look at the menu and I go, oh my God, a warm brownie with ice cream. That sounds incredible. Warm brownie, macadamia nuts, and ice cream. And I go, brownie sundae for the win. I'm going to take it. Well, they bring it out and it's orange. The brownie is orange. It's not a chocolate brownie. They did not specify. It was an orange brownie.
What was it made out of? I've seen blondies before.
Right. Which, I've seen brownies before,
I've never seen an orangey.
So it's they sit it down, and I go, oh, my God, she brought me the wrong thing. Oh, before that, she put them down. She goes, oh, two desserts, one for you and one for you. So we were dessert shamed by the lady. We start laughing. Didn't slow us down. So I look down, and I go, Hannah, this is orange. And it had, like, this orange glaze on it. So I bite into it. I think it was a macadamia nut brownie, like made of macadamia nuts, but it tasted like oranges. It was not great at all. So I got duped by the macadamia nut brownie. But that's the thing. If you guys don't like macadamia nuts, there's really no gifts for you here. I mean, everything is macadamia nut sandwiches, macadamia nut, everything. So I've been struggling on finding some gifts to bring home for you guys and for the studio.
How about some nice, like, yellowtail? I enjoy some sushi.
I was going to say some shave ice, just, like, get a free dry ice and, yeah, put it in a freezer-safe container.
That won't be inconvenient, right?
Yes,
well, it won't cost more than a couple hundred dollars, I don't think, to ship it, like, overnight.
I'm going to bring you some yellowtail, just one big yellowtail. The fish here is ungodly. Like, when you get the nigiri at a restaurant, you eat it, and you're like, whoa, it's just incredible, man. It is really, really good. So we've had a great time, kind of decided next year what we're going to do, because we got to fly from here tomorrow to Maui. We connect out of Maui to go home. Hannah said, next year, why don't we do a few days in Kauai? And then go to Maui for a few days and then fly out of there on a direct flight. I go, that's it. That's, you know, we've seen everything on Kauai that we need to see. We still want to come here to relax, but, it was magical. We truly had a magical day yesterday. And then, you know, kind of getting home in time for first pitch. But I got to tell you, man, the discourse yesterday that I saw when that lineup came out, It made me, I got like panicked. I really, really did. And I found myself online way more than I wanted to be yesterday talking about Mike Schilt's lineup construction. And honestly, I think the boys bailed him out a little bit last night. There's a lot to talk about with that game and what's going on with this team. But holy smokes, dude, it was crazy. I mean, it was absolutely crazy.
Well, we will get into all of it, set the menu for what's coming up here on a Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods. Kelly's got traffic, and then we'll do a couple of minutes, tell you what's coming up on the program here. Good morning, everybody. It is Ben and Woods, Tier 1. See you all in the chat. Thanks for joining us early here on 97.3 The Fan.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a moment hearing about Woods' spectacular vacation. I want to offer some sympathy over here to Polly, who's been having actually a really tough last 12 hours or so. God. Told me when you got in, your card got hacked again. Fraudulent charges. So you got to go through the entire.
No.
I got the bank text and phone call yesterday. Hey, we've detected some fraud. You know, was this charge you? Yeah. Was this charge you? No, actually. Was this charge you? Definitely not. And it's the same thing as last time. It's gas station charges for, you know, not around here, $75 even at a time.
Where was it?
I have not figured out the location of this particular one. I mean, I got like a text overnight while I was sleeping from the bank. Like,
how's this keep happening?
I don't know. I'm not doing anything out of the ordinary. And I got a new card, I don't know, a couple of months ago. The same thing happened. It was gas stations again. And, you know,
it's like $75 each time.
Yeah. And then, you know, adds up to like $300. Now, look, I'm not worried. Like, I'll get the money back. It'll get declined. I'll get a new card. It's fairly...
Ben, give him some cash today, Ben. Just give him some cash to get him through, for the love of God.
Well, right? Not only that, he's got to go through the entire hassle, but your Tier 1 basketball team lost last night.
Yeah, it was a real fun night. And then I got home and watched Mason Miller give up a 2-run tank right after I got home from basketball. I was like, oh, this is just a fantastic night.
And...
Now, quickly, though, and Karen, and this is a good point, because it happened to me recently, too. I think we're all guilty. We're all guilty of doing the slide in at the gas station, all of us, right? We all need to be tapping.
That's what they say, yeah, and I've been trying to do that.
I'm a tapper. I actually use an app now at the gas station, so I don't have to do anything with a card at all.
That's pretty genius,
Benny. That's a good move.
Yeah, if I could ever figure out how to download an app, I would be right there with you and set it up. I would do that, too. So I'm going to look into that. But
it's got to be like, there's got to be a skimmer or a card reader on something near my house that I must go to semi-frequently.
Now, Mike says the tap is what gets you hacked. Okay. See, nobody knows anything.
I thought it was the slide that got
you
hacked.
Megan said the same thing. She goes, I thought you're not supposed to tap and you're supposed to insert the chip. And I'm like, I thought it was the complete opposite. Like,
you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm writing checks at every gas station. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to write a check for $50 and you guys can suck it, man. I'm over it.
I remember growing up and going, you know, full serve gas station with my grandma. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, they'd, of course, come out, pump the gas, and then they'd bring out that carbon copy thing for her credit card where they'd slide it and it would create the second copy and you'd have to sign it. And I mean, it's incredible how things have advanced and how we pay for stuff over the last, I don't know, 40 years.
I'm sorry, Paulie. Now you got to link everything to the new card.
That's by far the worst part.
But
that is the worst part.
It's such a nightmare.
This was
such
all kind of leading into the setting of the menu. Paulie also struck out on our Big League Wednesday because our guest that we targeted hasn't gotten back to him yet, correct?
No, he didn't get back to me yesterday.
I know. We wanted to talk to Adam Jones. He's going into the Orioles Hall of Fame. Maybe he's too busy, so Paulie didn't get the text back from him. Maybe he
will
this
morning. Yet.
It's possible we could still get Adam Jones at some point. That was our target today for Big League Wednesday. Otherwise, we'll just talk a ton of Padres baseball. We'll get to our Padres wrap up with Sammy and Bob's highlights from last night's dramatic extra inning 10-5. Lots to go through in this game yesterday. 10-5, 11 inning win. If you did not watch the game, you've come to the right place to wrap it up, because there's plenty to talk about from the win last night, where the Padres stand in the playoffs. We'll also have all of our regular features like Don't Do This, Take on Woods, the Roundel Report, and we have more Padres Red Sox tickets to give away for Friday night's game and Cocktail Fest at Petco Park. So that's all coming up here in the next 4 hours of Ben and Woods. We'll go until 10 o'clock today. Then Woods will come home tomorrow, and we will see his smiling face in the studio next to us on Friday morning before the week is over. Looking forward to having you back, buddy.
Yeah, it's going to be great to be back. I'm so happy I was able to take the gear, man, this trip. And it's actually worked out really well, knock on wood. This will be the last day here in Kauai. And, man, I'm ready to get home and see you boys get back to the studio and start having some fun here in the second half.
All right, we will wrap it up, get to all the highlights of yesterday's win when we come back with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. Getting started here on a Wednesday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
You know, when you land tomorrow, you're going to be only 7 minutes away from 7 Mile Casino. You might want to schedule a little stop on the way home. I don't know how the kids are going to feel about that. But for you personally, it would be a very convenient time to drop in and play some cards. Some California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em, Pai Gow, or Baccarat.
Well, convenient in the sense that I'd be close. Inconvenient that I have two underage children and a wife with me that probably just wants to get home. That being said, I probably won't do it, but I could do it. It would be very, very simple to do. Like it always is simple to go to 7 Mile Casino. Got great food, got great drinks, smoke-free environment, a slot machine-free environment as well. So you're not going to walk in and hear those slot machines ringing, making you insane, clinically insane after a while. So check it out for yourself, guys. The proximity is really what we enjoy the most, but there's a lot to love about 7 Mile Casino. Again, just 7 minutes from downtown, Benny.
It's awesome. Patio's great. And again, yeah, so you said the proximity. You don't have to drive into the East County. It's going to be hot next couple of days. Stay cool on the coast at 7 Mile Casino, west side of the Bay, Bay Boulevard, west side of the freeway. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Padres made a move before yesterday's game, but it wasn't what a lot of people thought it was. Welcome back. Bennett Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. J.P. Sears was sent down to Triple A, and the immediate reaction, of course, of everyone is, yeah, he was terrible, so
man, that'll show him.
Send his butt down to the minors and teach him a lesson and, you know, get rid of him off the Major League roster. Mike Schilt explained that that move was already in the cards. You know, J.P. Sears could have thrown a no-hitter, and he probably would have been sent down to AAA after the game anyway because they wanted an extra reliever, which they did. They called up Sean Reynolds, who's been throwing pretty well of late down at El Paso and, of course, has been important earlier in the season in the Padres' bullpen, and they had him in reserve last night. Had that game gone further than 11 innings, you would have needed Sean Reynolds to come in there and eat a couple of innings for you. So they were well prepared for that game last night, which allowed Mike Schilt to be quite aggressive with his bullpen. So J.P. Sears will be down for at least 15 games unless someone gets hurt, which means the rotation will likely include Michael King the next time through. Looks like maybe Sunday when the Padres play the Red Sox. Now that Nestor Cortez is pitching today, they won't need J.P. Sears for at least a couple of weeks. So that's why that move was made yesterday, not because he was ineffective against the Diamondbacks on Monday night.
Yeah, no question, man. And anytime you find a guy that has options, you know, this time of the year especially, right? When the games mean a little bit more, you know, you're gonna exercise those options. And, you know, JP had to know that coming over. I'm sure he did. He was made probably very aware of that before the game of, hey man, this is the plan for you. And, you know, you've got options. We're going to use and exercise those options, and no harm, no foul. And, you know, you'll see JP Sears back when the time is right. But, yeah, I don't know about you guys, man, but after Suarez, and we'll talk about the game in detail, but, man, here we are, and I forgot about David Morgan last night. I'm sitting there after Suarez got out of those jams. I go, who's pitching? Who are they going to call on? I go, oh, David Morgan, the guy with a 2 ERA, is going to come in and get the last few outs. And, again, having a nice cushion there in extra innings was certainly needed.
He's like forgotten reliever, I feel like, dude, just because there's so much attention on the Fab Five, five horsemen, you know, whatever, the fist. There's so much attention given to them, and rightly so. They're all-stars. They're all MLB. David Morgan has looked really good lately.
No doubt, man. He's pretty nasty. So for him to have him in reserves was great.
So that did end up playing a critical role in the game last night. We'll go all through it. Want to have plenty of time to break this one down. So let's check traffic, and then we'll come back with all the highlights or Padres wrap-up coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
Left foot, this one driven high in the air, deep to left, forget it. It is way, way out of here. Two-run home run for Lourdes Gurriel Jr. So the two-out walk comes back to bite you, Darvish. It's 2-0 Arizona here in the first inning. 1-0 to Bogarts. Swinging a drive into left. McCarthy going back at the warning track at the wall, and it's gone. Solo home run, Xander Bogarts, his 8th of the season. Swinging a line drive into left center, base hit. Laureano scores easily. Cronenworth around first base on his way to second. Throw there, not in time. A stand-up RBI double for Jake Cronenworth. And just like that, it's 2-2.
2-2 pitch. Inside, gets past Diaz all the way to the backstop. And Perdomo is going to score.
second wild pitch of the inning for Yu Darvish. And the Diamondbacks now have a 3-2 lead.
Swinging a drive into right. This will touch down a base hit. Rolling to the fence. One run is in. Merrill racing for third. He gets the windmill. Here comes Merrill. Here comes the throw. Not in time. Laureano up to third. He slides in there safely. A two-run extra base hit for Ramon Laureano. And the Padres jump in front. 5-3 here in the seventh inning. A double for Laureano. Swinging a high fly ball left field. Looking up is Laureano. This one is gone. A two-run home run for Lourdes Gurriel Jr., his second of the night. And the Diamondbacks have tied it here in the bottom half of the eighth inning. It's 5-5. 1-1. Swinging a broken back grounder to third. Picked up by Iglesias. Steps on third. Throws to first. And in time. What a double play. Jose Iglesias. And Robert Suarez out of the inning. Iglesias picked it up. Steps on third for one. And a throw to first base for two. 0-1. Little looper left side. It's falling. It's fair. Tatis around third base. He's racing for home. The throw by Barroso. Not in time. Arise up the second, an RBI base hit for Luis Arraez, and the Padres jump in front 6-5 here in the 11th. 2. Swing line drive into right center, a base hit. Carroll over to get it. Machado racing around third. He'll score easily. Ramon Laureano strikes again. The Padres have scored 3 runs here in the top half of the 11th inning. They lead 8-5. First pitch. Line drive into right, a base hit. Cronenworth being waved around. Carroll comes up, throwing, throw home, not in time. Cronenworth slides in safely. It's a 5-run top half of the 11th inning. Now it's Freddie Vermeid, an RBI single, and the Padres in front 10-5. Morgan fires. Swinging a high fly ball into right center, chasing back Tatis. Towards the warning track, he reaches up, he makes the catch, and that's the ball game. Padres win it in 11, 10-5 the final. They score 5 runs in the top half of the 11th inning. David Morgan shuts the door. He retires. Each batter he faces in the bottom half. And the Padres even up this 3-game series at a game apiece.
Nice job by Sammy Leavitt continuing to fill in this series. Got one more game tonight, but some good calls there as the Padres pull out a 10-5 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. In 11 innings, so much to get to, Woods. I think let's just start in chronological order.
It was 10-5. What happened? Everyone was freaking out last night.
Yeah, it was an easy win. It was a simple win. Yu Darvish, not certainly as good as he was the last start. Honestly, he had the one bad pitch to Gurriel in the bottom of the first after a walk, a two-run home run that hurt him. Gave up the other one on kind of a little flip double and two wild pitches, and that was the 3 runs he allowed, 3 hits in 4 innings. But Mike Schilt really didn't want to press him too much and ended up going aggressively with the bullpen after the first 4 innings. But not a great start, certainly, for Yu Darvish. I would say that the Diamondbacks starter, Ryan Nelson, was more effective, obviously pitching into the 6th inning. He gave up 2 runs but struck out 8, and as he has in the past, did give the Padres hitters some problems. The guy is tough on the Padres, just like Brandon Pfaadt is also tough on the Padres.
Well, and you mentioned it yesterday, Benny, the Chase Field kind of house of horrors. don't know what it is about the Padres at Chase Field. Really ready for them to get the hell out of there. This will be the last time we are in Arizona this season, correct?
We'll
see
them correct.
Again, yeah. So last game at Chase Field, we will kiss this thing goodbye until next season, thank goodness. But honestly, man, I think, you know, from Jump Street when the game started, you know, the book on Ryan Nelson is he's going to throw about, what, 60% fastballs. And, I mean, he throws hard. I mean, he was 95, 96, 97, right down the middle. And he was challenging the guys early. And, you know, coming right into a game, looking fastball, hunting fastball, not being able to hit fastball, I was like, oh, great, it's going to be one of those nights. But we're able to answer back immediately after you gave up those runs. I thought that answer back was massive.
The Xander swing, maybe best swing of the year we've seen from Xander Bogaerts.
Even the best home run I've ever seen from Xander Bogaerts
from
in a Padres uniform.
I mean, yes, dude, yes. He absolutely tattooed that ball, tattooed it.
It's nice to know that it's in there, but I mean, that was an aggressive swing, hunting fastball, pulling it in the air. I think I saw It was either letters to AJ or Clark who said that was the hardest ball in the air Xander has hit all season long. An absolute no-doubter of a home run, as you said. Nice little bounce back, answer back by the Padres offense after the Gurriel home run. And then Mike Schilt went aggressively to his bullpen after the four innings from Darvish, knowing he had all of his horsemen, however many there are now, five, six, ready to go. He decided, hey, we may be down 3-2, but I don't mind that equation. If it's our bullpen against their bullpen, and we've got five innings of our bullpen against, you know, four or five innings of their bullpen, I like our chances in a game like that. That's the advantage that you have now when you're Mike Schilt and have those guys rested and ready. And I'd imagine that's a formula we'll probably see, you know, if the Padres make it to October. If you got a guy who gives you four innings, keeps you in it, you're tied, you're down one, you roll the dice and take your chances that you can win a game like that when it's bullpen against bullpen, no matter who you're facing.
Yeah, no question. And those are the games, too, that, you know, when you go aggressively to that part of your bullpen, that signals to your team, we want to win this game. Like, we are going after this game, and you have to, when you go to the big dogs, you're chasing a win. And those are the ones that are the most important to get. They just are.
I'd imagine that Torrey Lovello was probably regretting his decision with two outs after Ryne Nelson had thrown 100 pitches, but had just struck out the last two batters he faced. He decided, all right, let's get him out of there. We only need to get one more out this inning in the top of the sixth. We should be good. And he brings in Kyle Nelson, who cannot find the plate. I mean, just gnarly. 15 pitches, 12 balls. Walk the bases loaded with two outs. And, of course, then, you know, Torrey Lovello goes back to his bullpen to bring in Andrew Hoffman, who had pitched the day before to face Fernando Tatis Jr. And while Fernando Tatis Jr. went 0-6 in that game, and you could say, oh, he kind of had a bad game, huge at-bat there, not chasing and drawing the walk against Hoffman to tie the score at 3 there in the top of the sixth inning. Padres did leave the bases loaded, but they got the one they needed. It turned out every run was absolutely critical in that game, so that was a big at-bat by Tatis in an otherwise somewhat forgettable game. He also did score the go-ahead run as the free runner in the 11th. It's amazing how no matter how poor sometimes the box score may look, he somehow impacts a game, and that's what Mike Schilt always says about Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, I saw a lot of discourse about Fernando, and, you know, look, his numbers are still pretty good. I mean, I think his OPS did dip below 800 last night, to be expected after an 0-6 night, but had the very, very clutch walk, and I don't know that anybody else on the team gets the jump that he gets off of second or is able to score that run on a ball hit to left field other than Fernando. And he did there in extra innings. So he impacts you he impacts the game with his glove, with his arm, with his legs, and with his eye last night in his case. But so, yeah, man, it's a total team effort to win a game like that. Obviously, you have to praise the addition of Ramon Laureano, who's been a revelation since he got here. Had three knocks last night. Sorry. Three hits last night, drove in three runs last night as well. But really, three batted balls put in play. The guy yesterday wrote us a letter, if you missed it, said he does not like when we use jargon. So we need to stick to the real, you know, home plate, the pitcher's mound, hit, walk, things like that. So three RBI last night for Ramon Laureano after three base hits, extra base hits, I might add. He was fantastic. He's been fantastic since he got here. Has impacted this team immensely already. And let's give a lot of credit to Jake Cronenworth for some really, really nice ABs last night as well. Good defensive plays. Jose Iglesias moving a guy over. There's all kinds of stuff that went down last night. Everybody gets some credit.
Yeah. Ramon Laureano just puts together good at bats. You know, he can use the whole field. He drives the ball. I just love what we've seen so far in the last four games. What, he's got eight
triples,
hits.
Triples.
Yeah, extra base hits all over the place. Couple of triples, a double, a home run, big hits in clutch situations. He's been, so far, the best addition at the trade deadline, and it's really not even that close. He's been by far the most impactful player that the Padres picked up at the deadline.
And, you know, you get, of course, after a start like that, what do you think you see? Well, we got to move him up in the order. And hey, listen, I think there's the lineup discourse is going to be a really, really, and I say fun exercise, completely, tongue in cheek. It wasn't fun yesterday watching everyone pick apart the lineup. I guess I didn't really understand it either. That being said, you know, we all asked for a deeper bench. And I think a bench with Ryan O'Hearn and Gavin Sheets on it is certainly a deeper bench to be sure. But that said, yeah, I you know, acquiring an all-star to have him only have 11 at bats at this point, I think is something that I want to ask Schilty about tomorrow. And I'm sure he's got an answer for us. And I was at dinner. I had the game on there, but I was getting text messages about, you know, the lineup and how it was constructed. And my response was, look, at the end of the day, I just try to tell myself they know more than I do, and there's a reason for it. I think on the surface, sure, it makes for a semi-interesting conversation. But, you know, at that point yesterday, it would have been I even saw the Manny is selfish for wanting to DH. He should have just taken the whole day off to get Ryan O'Hearn in. And I just kept responding with, if our best hitter can hit, shouldn't we let him hit every time, right? Like, if our best hitter is available to hit, shouldn't he hit? I don't want to sit my best hitter just to get Ryan O'Hearn or Gavin Sheets more ABs. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I certainly was, when I saw the lineup, I was, you know, puzzled as to why Ryan O'Hearn wasn't in there for a second straight day. And I haven't heard any explanation if he is hurt or under the weather or something, because we didn't see him pinch hit in the game as well. But the discourse, as you said, about how, you know, mismanaging the lineup, I would hope everyone would say, yeah, it was a great lineup yesterday. They got 14 hits and 9 walks, 23 base runners. Iglesias, who was in there for defense, got on base 3 times with a hit and 2 walks. Machado, who was DHing, 3 hits, 2 runs scored, a walk.
And a walk.
I mean,
yep.
Everyone contributed in that lineup. I mean, Mike Schilt should feel very good about the lineup he put on the field yesterday, even though it didn't include Ryan O'Hearn. So,
well, yeah, and even though
it's not necessary. You have to take the results into account. And they also got great defense from Jose Iglesias, which was pivotal in the bottom of the 10th inning when they needed that double play to help Robert Suarez get out of that inning and keep the game going to the 11th so they could win it.
And, you know, listen, I'm not saying that anybody's opinion is wrong, but I'm looking at the lineup yesterday when it came out too. And I'm going, well, crap, dude, where's Ryan O'Hearn? And when you add pieces like that, you know, somebody's going to have to sit. Somebody that's actually playing well, you know, playing well-ish, and they're going to have to sit. It's just going to be the nature of the beast. So, again, I tweeted last night, you know, why didn't Manny, you know, people were like, why didn't Manny just take the whole day off? He's selfish. I'm like, being the team's leader and best hitter and able to hit and hit well and perform, I don't know what we're talking about. I really don't. This isn't just in defense of Manny. This is just kind of like, let's think this through. Like, if your best hitter can go, he's in there.
Yeah.
100% of the time. Shohei Ohtani, can you swing it? Yeah, I can swing it. All right, you're in. You're in. You're gonna swing it.
The Yankees have to make the tough decision now who to sit, because they need Aaron Judge in the lineup, but he can't play the field. So, you know, yesterday it was Giancarlo Stanton who could not play. Is Aaron Judge being selfish by being in the lineup and knocking someone else out that can't play because he can't play the field for a day or a week or however long it's going to be? Of course not. And that's the same thing with Manny Machado. You made these moves so you could get Manny and Xander and Jake and Luis Arraez more days off the rest of the season so they could be fresher when you get to October. This is the entire reason, or at least a large reason, why you made some of these moves.
Well, and again, these are the things that we don't No, right? Did Brian O'Hearn have diarrhea yesterday? Did Brian O'Hearn...
Ryan.
I said Ryan O'Hearn.
Ryan. Brian.
No, I didn't say Brian. I said Ryan. Did Ryan... I like stumbled my words, but it's Ryan O'Hearn. Did he have diarrhea? Did he tweak his calf? Right? These are all the things that we have no idea. So, Alex says, no days off when we're chasing the Dodgers. Come on. But Manny DH, that's not a day off, right? Like, he was the designated hitter. He's played in every single game.
That's also incredibly short-sighted. You know, the Dodgers will be giving their guys days off when they're trying to hold off the Padres, because that's smart baseball and managing. If you want to play everybody every day and never give them a day off, you're going to burn them all out, and none of them are going to be good come September and October. You need to use your depth. The Padres now have good depth.
Yes.
You know, there was no problem with Jose Iglesias in that lineup yesterday. Did it matchup-wise make the most sense? I mean, no, that's why he batted eighth. But I do think that we're missing just a little bit of the equation. But it worked out perfectly for the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
Let's talk about the extra innings. And, of course, Mason Miller, not, I'm sure, feeling like, oh, new team, and this is how I make my first or second impression with the new club. Tough way to do it, but I don't think we're going to see a ton of that going forward. We'll talk about that coming up. Hour number two of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.